What do you think?
I think we're dead meat. Real dead meat.
You're dead meat! Go ahead and laugh, you guys. If I ever find a little passage of business, you're dead meat.
Welcome to the Dead Meat Podcast, an extension of the YouTube channel Dead Meat. I'm James A. Janice.
I'm Chelsea Rebecca, and we're boyfriend and girlfriend, and we like to get scared together.
Yeah, we do. Scared in the dark today,
because
there's no visual component.
We're waiting for new cameras, because our old cameras decided to just freak out. Well, one of them did anyway.
Yeah. Previous video versions of the podcast were filmed using webcams.
Yeah.
Not great. We have two new cameras on the way. It'll be great. I promise. It'll be really good stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, they didn't get here in time. So we're doing this one audio only.
Yep.
But that's okay. Cause, hey everybody, we're talking about Final Destination.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Chelsea had the idea to do this after the shitstorm of comments I got after mentioning that Final Destination was originally going to be on the kill count. And instead I did Saw. And so all the Final Destination fanboys and girls came out and got mad at me. So here, guys, I'm doing this.
Yep.
This is for you.
We are doing it indeed. I really enjoyed myself during this movie, I think.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to reach Wishmaster levels of enjoyment, I don't think. But this one hit another similar cozy 90s movie.
Oh, it's place. Super cozy 90s.
I didn't realize how 90s this thing was gonna feel. I think because I thought this movie was gonna be really bleak in tone. I don't know why I was imagining that. Like a very serious horror that isn't funny.
Oh no, it's not at all. It's one of those post-Scream aimed at teens movies with like fun hot teens running around getting killed. This was your first time seeing it.
Yeah. I thought that this whole thing took place on an airplane. I just really thought that the final set piece of it was gonna be this plane blowing up or falling apart, but then that happened so early.
Yeah.
And so I had no idea what was going on.
That is the inciting incident. One thing that happens a lot with Final Destination before we get into the review is a lot of people are like, I know it's not a horror movie, but can you talk about Final Destination?
What?
Yeah, they call it a thriller, which it is.
I guess. I've always thought of it as a horror movie.
The Wikipedia article says supernatural horror, but of course anyone can edit that. But that sounds right. I mean, supernatural horror, I start thinking of stuff like Conjuring and Annabelle.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, this one is a weird one because it's starting to get into that territory of, well, where do you draw the line between a thriller and a horror? And I'm thinking of other thrillers that have, you know, stuff like this. I don't know why, but the first thing that comes to mind is 12 Monkeys, maybe because there's also an airport in that film. But, you know, just weird stuff with time and being able to see the future and trying to manipulate your way out of it. But I don't think I would consider that a horror.
I don't think I would consider 12 Monkeys a horror. Final Destination definitely focuses more on the deaths.
That's true.
And while that by itself may not necessarily a horror movie make, I feel like that's definitely in the argument.
I think something I was reading with, James Wong, I think, was talking about how his idea of this movie is horror-like in that the creature or character killing all the teens is just death itself.
Yeah.
Put in another character there and it is just kind of a slasher, you know? So I think maybe that's why it fits as a horror because, you know, there is like a monster.
Yeah. It's just death.
Know? It's just a series of deaths.
Yeah.
And not much else besides that.
So I would definitely consider it a horror. You know, movies can be more than one thing. It's a thriller. It's a horror. That's fine.
This movie could be the Rube Goldberg slasher. Rube Goldberg could be killing a bunch of teens.
Oh, like Rube himself?
Yeah.
Mr. Goldberg?
Yeah, and he makes these machines.
All right. So it's a fun movie. Fun movie that you got to watch for the first time. It got opening credits that are very menacing. A lot of just menacing close-ups. This whole movie just is close-ups on little things portrayed in a way that's like, this could kill you.
Yeah. Also, I know in Maximum Overdrive, I mentioned that there were a few things where I wasn't sure if they were references to Apocalypse Now or not. The opening of this movie, I'm pretty sure is a reference to Apocalypse. I don't want to be girl who cries reference, but the beginning of this, you got shots of a fan. It's not a ceiling fan, but it's a little desk fan. And it literally ends, fade out of opening credits. There's a quote from The Doors written, it's in like a book or something. It says, "This is the end, - Jim Morrison."
Yeah.
Fade out, which is the song that plays in the beginning of Apocalypse Now. And I thought that was so funny and so dumb. And that really just set up for me what this was going to be. Because yeah, holy shit.
If only Devin...
Devin Sawa?
If only Devin Sawa had punched a mirror.
Oh, yeah.
And screamed. Yeah, so Devin Sawa is our beloved 90s hero, also known from Idle Hands.
And Casper.
What?
He's in Casper.
Oh, that's fun. He'll yeah. always be Idle Hands guy to me.
Sure, sure, sure.
He smokes oregano in that movie. He doesn't do that here. Here mm-hmm. He's getting ready for a class trip to France with his French class. And we got just it's superstition right off the bat, all around, because mm-hmm. he's got a good luck tag on his luggage. This whole movie. Okay, so this movie has a bunch of little things happening. And, you know, in real life, they would just be coincidences. Mm-hmm. But because this is a movie based on the supernatural, all that stuff, they end up having meaning to them. And I feel like watching this movie and thinking about how many people our age grew up watching this movie, I feel like that explains a lot. About a lot of people I know.
What do you mean?
Who read into little coincidental things. Just like that, new agey shit.
I think that's people, though. People have always been superstitious. And people are always going to be into shit like crystals or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, this movie. So the main character is obsessed with reading into stuff. Like
everything.
So his birthday is September 25th. And so he sees 925 everywhere.
Yeah.
And so what, he's on flight 925 and it departs at 925. And it's all that character and the extent to which this legitimately drives him a little crazy is like, to me, I feel like one of the most accurate portrayals of what it's like to have OCD I've ever seen
yeah.
in film. Because I think often OCD, you think of, oh, everything's got to be clean. But that's like not what OCD always is necessarily. Mm-hmm. I think often a symptom is like reading into symbols or placing meaning in things and having things be a specific way. And if they're this way, then it means this thing. And so it's that kind of obsessive thinking. And that's what this character feels like to me. It was.
Yeah, especially later when he winds up in a shack.
Yes.
In the middle of the woods.
I don't think this movie's doing that on purpose, but no. I think accidentally they created just like this super hyper extended metaphor for OCD.
And it'd be great if the movie kind of delved or like attacked that angle a little more.
Sure.
And maybe left things a little bit more ambiguous, because it could all be a coincidence.
Sure.
Except for like two shots.
It would be kind of cool. And this wouldn't make for much of a franchise, because yeah. you gotta have that supernatural element for there to be a franchise. But it would be cool if this was a movie where, yeah, the character thinks death is coming for us because of this, this, this. And everything literally is a giant coincidence. It's just, you know, a bunch of very unlikely coincidences, but it is all coincidence, maybe.
But that's not Final Destination.
No, Final Destination, you do kind of see the monster a little bit in that death is represented by 90s kind of squiggly, gooey CGI.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I never know what to think of it.
It's a little...
It's not great.
Think Capri Sun.
Mm.
Or it's like Flubber.
Yeah, Flubber.
Yeah.
So he goes to the airport. All his classmates are going there, too.
His classmates that look the same.
That's the problem.
At first, it was like, oh, no.
Well, you got Sean William Scott.
Easy.
Who's easy.
Cosplaying as Kevin Smith this whole movie.
Oh, yeah. He's got a hockey jersey on.
The backwards hat.
Great. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. This is my favorite Sean William Scott performance.
He was funny in this. I like him.
Because here's the thing. Okay, I don't dislike Sean William Scott. I think the reason I like him a lot in this movie is because he's so hapless. In a lot of other movies, including his big role, American Pie, he's like a dick. He's like a douchebag.
Yeah.
I like to see Sean William Scott not be cool or not try to be cool. I like to see Sean William Scott be like the put upon doofus who everyone makes fun of. That's fun for me. And then when he tries to be cool or like, hey, I'm Stifler.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, Sean William Scott, you're not
yeah.
that cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He also has my favorite recurring line.
Car, you dick.
While watching this, I realized just how much I watched this movie growing up because
you were quoting it.
Yeah, I knew all the lines.
I will say my favorite lines are from Carter. Carter's got some gems in this movie.
Oh, yeah, Carter does have some great lines.
We'll get there. I think I have some written down, but we'll...
Yeah. So he's getting... Yeah, but his other friends, his friend Todd, who I did not remember...
I don't remember either. Who the fuck's Todd?
It's Todd and his brother
are his two friends. Todd's the first one to eat it.
Yeah, right. After the plane crash.
The plane crash.
Because his brother goes in the plane explosion.
That's right.
Todd, I did not remember, despite having watched this a thousand times.
Yeah, I mean, I just now didn't remember
him. Yeah, exactly. He's very nondescript. He's got some decent lines. They take shits together.
Oh my God, yeah. This is the second movie we've... reviewed where there's just a scene of dudes pooping and they're talking
this is the double poop scene.
This one didn't have poop noises, at least.
No, but I pictured them, like, it didn't need to include them on the soundtrack. They were there in my mind just watching them.
By the way, speaking of soundtracks, if you own the Final Destination DVD, was it the DVD or Blu-ray?
Blu-ray.
We had the Blu-ray.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
There are two pretty amazing things on this Blu-ray. One is a full commentary, the entire movie with the composer of Final Destination, which is not a movie I would say has a very unique score, which is fine.
Sure.
Some movies don't need to have that.
The only thing that stood out to me was that it was a lady composer.
Yeah,
which is
awesome.
Rare. Very rare.
Shirley
Walker.
But you know what? Like, the score does its job. I don't think it's a movie where the score is meant to stand out. But
no, in one scene, actually, I thought it was bad. When the teacher's by herself before her death and she's like... being sad, and the score just gets super overdramatic.
I have thoughts about that scene. But yeah, so if you want to watch Final Destination but have the composer talk about the score the entire movie, that's on the Blu-ray. The other thing that is on this Blu-ray is a 20-minute long documentary about a woman who is an intuitive investigator, which means that she's basically psychic and assists in like murder or missing person investigations.
Heavy air quotes on psychic, heavy air quote on assists.
Yeah, heavy air quotes on investigator.
It's like a homemade fucking
camcorder. It's so weird. It feels like this got put on here on accident.
I don't know why it's there. I don't know who pitched it. I don't know who profited from it.
Like, who went out? What? Who had to go out with, like, the mini DV cam and shoot this? Like,
that's what it
in is. Camera audio. It's crazy.
And it's 20 minutes.
And I would have watched the whole thing, but I couldn't.
Yeah, because I said
was
no.
We tapped out really fast.
It's so bad. The connection to the movie is...
There's none.
The connection
is so tenuous at best. I don't understand. If any of you watch it, please tell us and, like, review it for us. And
yeah.
You know.
Fuck that.
Give us the highlight reel.
I don't know
I don't wanna
how that wound up on a New Line Cinema
it's
Blu-ray.
So weird.
I don't know. Quick note about Shirley Walker. Like I said, one of the few female film score composers. At the time of her death, when she was only 61 because of a stroke, she had scored more major motion pictures than anyone, but she was not recognized during the In Memoriam segment of
what
the
fuck? Are you serious?
Academy
She's
Awards.
Done more scores than, like, what, John Williams?
At no, the time? Female.
Composers, oh, female.
Because there aren't any. That's why it stood out to
but
me when I saw her
still,
name.
Still, like, she, ooh, that makes me mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks.
That makes me mad. Horror fans. Unite in your anger.
Shirley Walker.
Icon of horror. She should be recognized.
We meet all the characters. Some of them are funny.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Allie Larder.
Yeah, Allie Larder, who I know from Heroes.
Who I don't know her at all.
Okay.
She's in, like, Varsity Blues or other shit that I haven't seen, but she's a smarty French pants.
Yeah, she's reading Tropic of Cancer, so she's smart.
And she's like, she knows the French without listening.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's a smart girl. She's cool.
Yeah, she's the cool girl in this movie.
Yeah, well, oh yeah, she is cool too, because isn't she like working on like
she's the art
metal work or some shit?
Who I whenever I see this character pop up in a 90s movie, I just always think of Not Another Teen Movie.
Oh yeah, because
the girl in that is like the weird artsy girl too, and mm-hmm. she's the love interest. You got this going on hard in this movie, but Ali Larter makes these like kinetic metal sculptures in her garage.
Oh god, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Todd and Alex take a shit together because they got a 7-hour flight ahead of them, and they're eyeballing these two hot chicks, Kristen Blake, who are just like real generic 90s hot.
Yeah,
it doesn't do it for me at all. They just seem so like Barbie doll kind of.
Yeah. That was very in vogue at the time.
Yeah,
they've got the frosty blue purple eyeshadow, which I also owned. Every girl looked like that around then, I think. The like frosty lip gloss.
Who's chilling with the gel crimped up hair in this movie? Is it that Terry chick?
Oh, I don't remember. Someone's got weird gelled hair. Girls all, if you were a teen around the early 2000s, like I was, you were told that it looks really good if you just get your hair wet and put gel in it and then scrunch it with your hands.
Yeah.
And that's what we all did, and we all looked like shit.
Yeah, it's all right. In the bathroom, John Denver plays Colorado Rocky Mountain
High. For the first time of many.
Many, so many.
In that, this movie.
I have always associated that song with this movie, which I'm sure would be much to the ire of John Denver fans. Yeah.
I didn't realize that that song is by John Denver at first. So later in this movie, the teacher of their class puts on a record.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, John Denver. And I thought you just knew from just memory that the record had. But no, it's because it was going to be the song from earlier. But that freaked me out for a little bit.
I had a vision.
Yeah. No, I thought you just remembered. Like, you know this movie so well. You're like, oh, yes, her John Denver vinyl.
They finally get on the plane and they see like a special needs person.
Oh boy.
And something else too, like a baby.
He's credited as Lou Gehrig's man.
Oh.
So he's got Lou Gehrig's disease.
At least they specify.
Yes,
they weren't
instead
just
of
like
just some really terrible generic term. Yeah. Fair.
Good.
Wow, we're progressing.
But the whole
it's
thing
the year
is there.
2000.
The whole thing there is like his friend Todd is like, be a fucked up god to take down this plane, which then I propose to you, Final Destination's thesis is there's a fucked up god. Because that plane goes down.
Oh, he said God?
Yeah.
I thought he said guy.
No. This is pre-9/11. Ain't no guys taking down planes.
This is a pre-9/11 movie.
Oh, this movie would not get made the following year.
No.
Because this came out in 2000.
No. Not even just because there's a plane crash. It's just so many safety protocols that now it just never fly.
Yeah, people getting on flights late and shit.
Yeah.
Getting up, getting into fights.
Yeah.
They'd all be tased. But yeah, fucked up god to take down this plane. I really wish though that they had just kept going and turned this into like an airplane gag where like the camera keeps moving back and there's like a crowd of nuns there.
Yeah. The Hare Krishna. There is a Hare Krishna in this movie.
Right? Oh yeah, there is.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, don't forget to mention that the two hot 90s chicks ask Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
Alex
is his
They
name.
Ask Alex if they can switch seats with him.
Yeah. And he kind of dicks over Todd because had he not switched seats, one of the hot chicks would have had to sit with either of them.
Right.
But then Devon Sawa is like, I don't know why he switches.
Sawa? It's Sawa, I think.
What? What kind
we
of
gotta
name
pick
is
one. We got to pick one and we're either wrong or we're right. I feel like it's Sawa because I feel like I've heard Joel say Devon Sawa.
But Joel also said Carrie Ewis.
Oh, shit. That's right.
What if I just say Seiway?
Seiway.
Devon
and
Seiway.
Then just be wrong.
Yeah, I'll just commit to that.
Devon Safeway.
So Devon Safeway does switch seats, and he sits next to Todd. And then the plane takes off. It's
immediately deteriorates
in
the sky.
It just fucking falls apart.
Honestly, this sequence is pretty cool and absolutely terrifying.
It is so scary.
And
we're about to ride a plane in 2 days.
Yeah, we literally are getting on a plane in a couple days. And
yeah.
That was
great timing with this.
Really good. I feel like that always happens to me. And again, this is the Final Destination thing of like looking for coincidences. I always feel like when I'm about to fly, I end up accidentally watching stuff with a plane crash or listening to things that involve plane crashes or things like that.
Yeah.
But that's just me noticing those things.
I think that this is the number one, though, as far as movies with plane accidents. But this is real bad. Everything just blows up.
Sully's not there to save them.
And Denzel's not there either. Landed upside down. There's no one who's going to save them from this plane. It's not all just like an instant fireball. There's like he watches individual people die.
Get sucked out of the side of the plane. It's brutal. It honestly is really terrifying.
Yeah, and like the effects haven't aged the best, but it's still good.
It still is visceral enough that I didn't care.
Yeah, it's fine.
It was still really nerve-wracking.
And then he gets fried, and the shot holds on him melting.
So there's an explosion, and Devin Safeway is just melting in the air. And so, by the way, this is when I'm still thinking this whole movie takes place on this damn airplane.
Yeah, I would have loved to just see inside your mind right there.
Like, what else is going to happen?
He wakes up.
And then he wakes up.
That's what happens.
All a dream, which I figured was going to happen. So I'm like, okay, there's still a chance that this whole thing is going down on this plane.
Yeah, and they waste no time because he wakes up to the girls asking him to switch seats with him again. And he instantly rushes over to his new seat and he sees like the same fucked up screw on the back of the seat thing.
Speaking of, okay, so he wakes up and starts seeing the same things happen that happened in his dream. Like he's reliving it. It was very weird that we did a double feature of this and then Happy Death Day. Yeah. Like we didn't pick that on purpose, but it kind of wigged me out. I felt like Devin Safeway a little bit. I was like, oh my God, what does it mean?
Well, yeah, because we watched this, then we watched Happy Death Day, both movies involving people seeing the same thing over and over and
trying to maneuver their way out of it or trying to stop
but
it. From...
It was hard for me to adjust tonally to Happy Death Day because they're very different movies.
Yeah.
Happy Death Day is more of like a music video and this is more like a, it's still got like an MTV kind of appeal to the crowd,
I guess.
It
takes itself a little more seriously.
Definitely. Definitely it does.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a big kerfuffle on the plane. Devin Safeway gets off. So does Carter, who gets up to fight him.
Fucking Carter.
Carter's girlfriend, Terry, who gets up to help Carter.
Yeah.
Both teachers are taken off. Billy, Sean William Scott, he was getting on the plane late or coming from the bathroom. And so he was in the aisle and got pushed off. And then Todd, good forgettable buddy Todd, he goes to check on Devin Safeway at the request of his brother because they're all friends. And then Ellie Larder is just like, I don't like the look of this. And she gets off.
Yeah.
Is that everyone?
That sounds correct.
Okay. So now they're off the plane.
Yeah, they're back in the airport terminal.
And the airport people are like, y'all, you're not getting back on that
plane. This guy's freaking out.
This guy's saying the plane is going to explode.
It's pre-9/11, but we're still like, man. No.
Yeah,
you can't get back on this
the
plane.
The reason he's escorted off the plane
is because he's screaming about the plane's going to blow up.
Yeah.
That gets you kicked off a plane real fast.
Yeah, not a good look, Devin.
Yeah.
Miss Luton, Valerie Luton, she tells the other teacher, go ahead and get back on because, you know, they got to have a teacher.
Yeah, we'll meet up with you later in a separate flight.
Yeah, so
France.
She just sent that guy to his death. And he could speak French so well. Good job, Luton. I forgot how much of a, I was going to say wet blanket. She's totally justified in her, like, fear of Devin Safeway. But she's like, I forgot that she is against this kid from the moment that plane blows up. She hates him.
Yeah. So Carter and Devin get in a fight, and Devin tells Carter, I wish you were on that plane.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they're fighting. They're literally beating each other up in the middle of this terminal. And then in the background, the plane explodes, also taking out the entire window of this terminal with it, which I don't think is possible.
I think that plane was carrying a nuclear warhead because that's the only way those windows are breaking.
It's a sonic boom that just like there's glass everywhere. But then everyone's freaking out because Alex was right. Devin/Alex.
Like maybe I'm wrong about the science, but there's no fucking way those windows are breaking like that, right?
I don't think
there's no
so.
Fucking way.
I think the only way it could happen is if
it was carrying a nuke.
Yeah, that, or if the plane was somehow in an enclosed space to where the air can only get out through those windows.
Final Destination takes place in the Truman Show, confirmed.
Oh my God. So
plane blows up.
Yeah, Devin was right. His vision came true.
Yeah.
Yep. And he immediately gets taken into police custody.
Oh, not the police.
Oh, it's the FBI. Okay, guys.
Yep.
guys, you like sit down for this because there is a character in this film named Agent Shrek.
Shrek.
And when they said his name, I immediately grabbed my phone to check IMDb to make sure I wasn't just hearing things. And sure enough, Agent Shrek, FBI, is in this film.
Because Shrek comes out, what, 2001?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like the next year. They literally were animating Shrek while this movie was being made.
Oh, man. What an unfortunate character name to have in retrospect. Funny. Agent Shrek.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the FBI shows up and they're questioning everyone.
Yeah. At this point, I'm thinking, well, you're in questioning forever now.
Yeah. Because he literally said this plane's going to blow up.
Yeah. The only reason he isn't just living in questioning from now on is because this is a pre-9/11 film.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Otherwise, he is fucking getting some enhanced interrogation in Gitmo.
Yeah, no kidding.
No kidding.
So, Agent Shrek and other agents.
Agent Ween?
No, it's not. Agent Ween?
I'm Agent Ween. This is Agent Shrek. We're with the FBI.
Shrek and Ween are on the hunt. For a cause. There's no cause determined for the plane crash.
Yeah.
Initially.
Yep. They question everyone, and it seems like they let everyone go, but they're still pretty suspicious of Alex.
There's a memorial service held for the 287 passengers. If I did a kill count on this, I'll figure out how to do these giant fucking catastrophic numbers. Because luckily in this one, they give a number. They say there were 287 passengers. I feel like that might not be the case in all of them.
Oh.
Which, like, then what the fuck am I supposed to do, dear listener, when it comes to that shit?
Can you think of other things in future movies that might be an issue? Or, like, I can't think of, like, I haven't seen the other ones except the fourth one.
I kind of pitched this out to Twitter softly, and someone said that there's a bridge accident.
Oh, shit. That sucks.
And that they don't report the fatalities. So I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
In the case of this movie, I will not make 287 tiny little stick figures at the end. I will simply make a plane with a number.
Yeah, that's
287, yeah. And then deal with the main characters, but... Yeah, fucking kill counts. Yeah. their structure binds me so.
Yep.
But all those people are dead. There's a memorial service.
There's more. This guy plays the guitar.
There's a giant eagle statue.
Yes, they unveil a giant memorial, which I thought was going to kill someone for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I thought was going to either fall on someone or something.
If it were one of the sequels, I bet it would.
Yeah.
I think the sequels get sillier with the setups for all the kills.
Everyone's really suspicious of Devin. / Alex. We need to just pick one name and stick with it.
Let's go with Devin Safeway.
Okay.
Sean William Scott's cool with him.
Because
he treats him like a psychic, and Devin treats him like a simpleton.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird in this movie.
It's weird.
How Billy is treated.
I can't tell how they're trying to write Sean William Scott's character, but the way all the other characters talk to him is if he's like he's Lenny or...
Yeah.
From Of Mice and Men.
It's like every sentence they say to him is a proverbial pat on the head.
Yeah, it is very like, we'll see the rabbits someday, you know? It's weird.
But he's also just riding his bike around town in the middle of the night.
Right. Yeah.
Getting like almost hit by cars and saying, Carter, you dick.
It's because his car got stolen.
It did?
Dude. But it was actually
stolen.
Behind the... Was it the mail truck?
Yeah, it was just behind the mail truck the whole time. Spoilers alert for a movie that we tried to put on a couple years ago.
We couldn't finish it. And we love shitty movies. But
like 15 minutes.
We're talking about Dude, Where's My Car, by the way, if you haven't figured it out yet. Yeah, that movie is rough. I remember watching it as a younger person. I don't know if I liked it.
Oh, I loved it when I was a kid. I was a little,
But unwatchable now, actually.
I would determine it. Unwatchable.
Yeah.
Yeah. The teacher, meanwhile, she literally says, "You scare the hell out of me," to Devin Safeway.
Yeah. You're a teacher and don't do that?
I don't think she's still a teacher. Remember, she's like,
oh, yeah, she quit.
Fucking leaving town. She does not deal with this well.
No.
And I'm not judging her. Because her whole thing is like she sent that other teacher to die.
Yeah. She's got survivor's guilt for sure. Yeah. And also later in the movie, we get a really weird kind of sad picture painted of her home life.
Yeah, complete with a lot of vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. Also he's kind of estranged with his buddy Todd because Todd's dad is mad about Todd's brother being killed in the crash and somehow blames Devin.
Everyone blames Devin.
It's weird.
It's very weird.
I guess it's...
I'm just thinking theoretically, like, how would that play out in real life?
Yeah.
I mean...
It depends on where.
I guess.
Because their treatment is kind of like, I could see, like, a small town being this way.
Yes.
Like, that weird boy talking about... Sorry for putting on that accent, but...
Yeah. If you're from the South, you're used to being the butt of jokes, I feel like.
It's not always fair. We're sorry.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I could see that being more of a small town superstition thing, but it seems like all the adults in this movie are really freaked out by Devin, and that's not fair.
No.
He just guessed the plane was going to blow up. It does look weird.
It does look pretty weird.
You know?
Yeah, but him and Todd are estranged. They talk briefly at the memorial service and they're like, I miss you, no homo. They don't actually say that.
It's implied.
And
it's the year 2000. That's implied for sure.
And then we get our first scene without Devin Safeway in it. So, yeah.
I wrote that there's two poops in this movie.
That's the scene I'm talking about. It's
more?
Todd taking a poop.
Yeah.
Doubling down on the deuce. And yeah, it's literally the first scene of the movie without Devin Safeway. So I was like, oh, this guy's going to die now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder what's going to happen.
This guy shaving with, like, no shaving cream, and he
and
also
no
has no facial hair.
What are you shaving, guy?
Yeah, he immediately just takes a blade to his face and cuts himself. Then he starts going to trim his nose hair, and for some reason, this was the hardest thing for me to watch, because I was just so convinced he was going to slip or do something, and those things are going to go right up his nose. I think little things in this movie freaked me out more than setups for big, elaborate deaths.
Well, it's good. The movie's good at being like, hey, maybe he'll die
this
way.
This thing could kill you, yeah.
Because there's, like, liquid coming at him
when
he's trimming his nose hairs.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, what if he slips and he... gets a nose full of nose trimmer.
Yeah, I think water starts leaking out of the back of the toilet.
Yeah.
And so there's all these little things set up in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. Just so many ways this dude could accidentally kill himself.
Well, Todd dies is what happens. Because the evil bathroom water gets him. And he slips into the tub where there's a wire strung across.
Oh, it's a clothesline.
It's just a clothesline. But like he falls into it. And then, I do not know how it works, but it like wraps around his neck and it does so very strangely.
I don't think the physics checks out,
but it like, yeah, twists around his neck. And it's actually kind of cool. His eyes burst into red while he's getting strangled to death.
Yeah.
And that looks pretty cool. It looks like a suicide in the end.
Yeah.
And here's one of the shots that removes the ambiguity.
This
is weird.
I kind of hated this because, yeah, the whole time leading up to this, you're thinking this could all, you know, just be a really elaborate series of coincidences. But then you have a shot of the CGI water.
Like retreating.
Yeah.
To hide the evidence of having murdered Todd.
It sucks.
It's like, because, yeah, it's the water that made him slip. And then after he dies, it like just goes back. Cops show up at his house, and because that Penthouse magazine flew into a fan and gave Devin Safeway the message of Todd, he rushes over there to
a piece of paper flies out of the, so like the magazine goes into the fan.
Oh yeah.
Then there's magazine shreds everywhere, and one of the shreds that like Devin catches just says TOD.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes to Todd's house,
where he finds both the cops and Allie Larder hiding behind a tree.
Yeah, when I looked up this movie, her character's name is Claire Rivers.
Yeah.
That sucks.
You think they're saying Claire the whole time.
Yeah, it sounds like an accent.
Claire Rivers.
Yeah.
She's there because she, like, feels Devin Safeway. They're, like, connected by feels.
They
I don't know what this character's
never really
doing.
Explain this.
I don't know why she's in this movie.
She's there because they needed a love interest, and that's it. Yeah, there's not really a reason for her to be there.
Because, yeah, he goes to her place the next day where she's working on being a cool artist in her garage.
Oh, yeah.
And this is when we get her abstract metal structure. And she's like, do you know what this is? And I'm thinking, that's Billy the Head from Figure It Out.
It looks exactly
yeah, like Billy the Head. But she's like, it's how you make me feel.
And then she goes on a whole thing about how they're connected and she doesn't understand, like, ever since the crash, blah, blah. Any real person would run so far. I don't care how hot this chick is.
To clarify, I don't think she made that structure being like, this is for Devin Safeway. I think she made that structure and then he happened to come over and she was like, I made this structure because of these feelings and those are the same feelings that you make me feel.
Oh.
Personally. That's okay. My personal interpretation.
I interpret it as very specific and weird. Like she went very home from obsessed
Tom's death
with him.
And like built that.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, they have a fun time because they break into a funeral parlor through the ceiling window.
Oh, shit. They're in the... It's the morgue, right?
Is it?
Yeah, it's the morgue.
Okay.
They break into the morgue and who
through
is...
Through a fucking skylight.
Yeah, that's... Oh, no, it is the funeral home because I remember they're like rappelling down.
Yeah. What the fuck is this Mission Impossible
shit? They like drop down
and
there's coffins and... Okay, yeah. So it is the funeral home.
Yeah.
Okay.
It seems absurd that they're doing that. But... Oh, it boy. Does give us the best scene of the movie.
Who did they run into but Tony Todd? And we both cheered and we scared Lucy.
Oh,
I
yeah.
I have in my notes that we scared Lucy because we were like, Tony!
Yeah. Lucy was having a good time enjoying the movie until that
moment. Until that.
Tony Todd is credited with an and in the opening credits. And so you got excited because you thought that meant perhaps prominent role.
Yeah, but then when this scene started... I just got the feeling, no, this is going to be the only scene that he's in. It's going to be that, like, one scene, like, really great character acting. Give him a monologue. It's great.
It's great. Yeah. He's a great character actor. It's a great monologue. His voice is awesome. In death, there is no accidents. He's talking about death having a new design for everyone.
Because
death was supposed to get them, but Devin Safeway... cheated. He hacked his way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And now death is coming up with a new design for him.
Mm-hmm. And then his monologue ends with the best line in this movie.
But remember the risk of cheating the plan, of disrespecting the design, could incite a fury that could terrorize even the Grim Reaper. And you don't even want to fuck with that, Mac Daddy.
Yeah, I love Tony Todd. Tony Todd, come be on the podcast.
Yeah, so, but here's the thing, though. Tony Todd's like, when you defy death, you risk dying. Like, he's saying that, like, it's dangerous to defy the Grim Reaper, but isn't it, if you don't, then you die.
Then you die. I had some issues with that, too.
Right?
There should have maybe, to up the stakes, like, maybe its death will make it more painful, or there's some post-life consequences. Like, surprise, there's an afterlife, but if you cheat death, then you're going to have a really bad time the whole time.
They could have come up with something. Because he's like, if you cheat death...
Then you're going to die.
Then you're going to die. It's like, okay,
well, yeah.
I was going to die.
And then I got excited because when they leave, he goes, I'll be seeing you soon. And I was like, oh, cool, he is in more of this movie. Oh, no, he means seeing them as a corpse.
Bodies, in as
the
cadavers,
funeral,
yep.
You know.
That's okay.
That's it for Tony Todd.
All the survivors meet up the next day outside like a cafe or some shit. It happens after Billy almost gets hit by a car again.
Yeah.
The only reason they're all here is so that non-character Carter's girlfriend Terry can get killed.
Is that, because they roll up. They're listening to Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, fuck yeah, they're listening to Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. The music in this movie is great.
Honestly, it's got a good soundtrack.
It's not bad.
It made me nostalgic for sure. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they got the Nine Inch Nails going.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
then,
like, that's like teen fuck music.
Oh, yeah, it is. If you're a fucking cool teen.
Yeah.
Terry is all upset because Carter keeps wanting to wail on Devin Safeway. And she is like, I'm done. I'm putting this behind me. And she gets hit by a bus.
Yep. She's talking and walking backwards, which you immediately know.
That's one of the problems with this movie is there are the deaths where there's like the Rube Goldberg project. Great. there's a couple of deaths, Terry's and Billy's, that I think are supposed to come out of nowhere, but they're very telegraphed by filmmaking. It's yeah. like, you know, Terry's going to die later on when Billy's standing next to that train and yeah. he's like standing at a certain angle. You're like, oh, he's going to die.
Yeah. Like, just don't walk backwards without looking, especially if you're next to a train track or a street. The FBI nabs Devin again because his friend just died.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of his friends just died. And this is when he starts telling the FBI that there's a pattern and death has a pattern. And you don't tell the FBI that, Devin.
Yeah.
You can't be an FBI questioning and tell them that there's a pattern and it's coming for you and you.
I do think it's kind of bullshit that they include Terry's death on their like things of why he's suspicious, because she had like a ton of witnesses who watched her walk yeah, into the middle of a street.
Watched her walk backwards. Yeah. That one made me mad too, because yeah, so many people saw that. Like a lot of people. They were at like an outdoor cafe.
Yeah.
So many people saw her get like, pummeled by that bus.
How can you explain the plane blowing up, your best friend committing suicide, and that girl getting hit by a bus? You're like, dude, she was walking backwards in the middle of the street. What do you want?
Yeah.
Fucking look both ways.
Yeah. Yeah.
They let him go, and has he determined at this point the order of the kills? He has, right? Has he seen on the TV?
Oh.
Because the TV news talks about the
yeah,
explosion.
This is the big story of the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, when something like this does happen, yeah, man, CNN's gonna talk about it for 10
sure.
weeks in a row. It's like the Malaysia flight that disappeared.
But they're not gonna fucking put a graphic up showing the pathway of the explosion.
Yes,
of
they
the,
are.
Really, they might?
Yes, they are. 24/7 news.
Okay, okay, okay.
Absolutely.
Sure. It's so, detailed enough that he can trace it
yeah,
from the
so
TV.
It's a graphic of the...
Like the plane layout.
Yes.
It's like when you're picking a seat on a flight.
Yeah, yeah. So the TV shows like the layout of the plane, and then it shows the pathway which this like fuel leak I think traveled, and that's the way that like this explosion, like once it sparked, it followed this path,
and it does all this crisscrossing. It's kind of bullshit because it goes through Terry's seat and he's like, yeah, that makes sense, she died next. But she was sitting right next to Carter. And, like, we're supposed to believe that this thing would have killed her, but he would have been fine until later.
Oh.
It's weird, but whatever.
Whatever.
It's needed.
So
for
the
this
logic
plot.
Is
whatever,
whatever. Devin figures out, oh, death is getting us in the order that we were supposed to die
mm-hmm.
on the plane.
Yeah. And so he determines that, you know, yeah, Todd was first. Great. Terry was next. That makes sense. Next up is the teacher, Mrs. Luton.
Yep.
So when he's getting questioned by the FBI and they're like, we don't have anything on him, which they fucking don't.
Yeah.
They let him go and he runs over to her house, but it's too late. She's been having a sappy time with John Denver talking
yeah.
on the phone to someone about what?
I'm assuming she's on the phone with a parent.
Maybe.
Is what it sounded like to me.
But my issue with this scene is everything she says on the phone is stuff we've already heard in this movie.
Yeah.
She's just reiterating, I feel real bad because the other teacher died. I'm leaving town because I can't
yeah,
handle it.
Yeah, I can't
it.
Handle it. I can't. It's like, okay.
Yep.
It's just like weird and sad to watch this lady crying who I think she lives in this house by herself and she drinks a lot.
Well, first she goes for the tea, the hot tea that she pours in the mug. And then I don't know why this is so weird, but she like gets scared and tosses it.
It's because this was really weird. I think they needed a way to like make this happen. So when she grabs the mug that has tea in it, and when she grabs the mug, she realizes that the mug she grabbed has the logo. It's got the mascot of the high school on
That's
it.
That's right.
And it like freaks her out and she
yeah.
throws
but
it.
But she spills it out like she's attacking an invader.
Yeah,
with
she doesn't even
tea.
Throw her cup. She like tosses hot water everywhere.
Yeah, it's weird. It looks weird. But the whole reason they need her to do that is because after that, she fills it with ice cold vodka.
Yep.
And since it was just filled with hot liquid, the mug is hot and you fill it with cold liquid and you're going to get a crack. And the mug cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she's carrying it around, oh, yeah, she must be drinking 151 with how flammable this shit
yeah.
is later. But she's carrying the mug around and it creates a little like stream of vodka, of watered down ice vodka, which is going to catch on fire shortly. And then she carries it over to the computer where it leaks into the computer
mm-hmm.
and that explodes. And then her, it's off.
So, okay, so computer explodes. Then it catches the trail of vodka.
The perfect trail.
Yeah, which it's funny because you see her walking around and it's kind of like dripping out of the mug. But then when you cut back to it when it's on fire, it's a trail of lighter fluid that was put there by the special effects team. So that goes up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what happens next.
Oh, it goes back into the bottle of vodka. And it just fucking blows up.
That's right.
That's like Molotov vodka.
Yeah, so the bottle shatters. She falls.
I think she gets stabbed.
Well, what happens is she falls and then she's like, oh, I see a towel.
Oh, yeah, because she's bleeding.
She's trying to get up, so she goes to like grab a towel. But the towel was a towel she set down earlier on top of her block of knives. So she pulls down like knives on.
And the one of the knives goes into her gut.
Yep.
This is right at the same time that Billy's taken his nighttime bike ride, which is both weird and something I did all the time as a kid. And he's driving by her house, and Alex gets to her house. I'm sorry, Devin Safeway gets to her house. And he goes inside this burning house because now it's on fire.
Oh, man. I was yelling at the screen this whole time.
It's so dumb.
So here's a kid who...
He
just got out of FBI questioning. They're very suspicious of him. So logically, what's the thing he shouldn't do? He shouldn't run into the teacher's house after it just blew up. See that she has basically been stabbed with a knife. So he then grabs the knife and just puts his fingerprints all over it. He's leaving footprints with his shoes because there's blood everywhere. It's so fucking dumb. Just...
When he realizes, he just drops
the knife. He just drops the knife and runs.
No, dude, take that shit and bury it.
Yeah. Yep. So he super incriminates himself.
Yeah, and Billy sees him running out of the house right as it blows up.
Yep.
Shit. Somehow they get together.
So all the kids, it's the four remaining kids, end up in Carter's car.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Devin tells them about how he figured out the order they're all going to die in. And so Carter's like... Or no, he refuses to tell them.
Yeah, he doesn't want to tell them, but Carter intuits that it's him. That it's Carter.
So
next.
He's like, nothing matters. And then he starts driving all crazy.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not afraid.
I'm not afraid. All right, I decide when it's time. I control my life. I control my death.
Just driving through traffic all crazy. Billy's freaking out.
Yep.
It was kind of foreshadowed earlier by Billy being like, now make sure you drive safe and don't pass on the right, because he's like, he doesn't want to die. And then I found it funny that shortly after that, he's speeding through all this traffic.
Yeah.
He stops the car on some railroad tracks and locks the doors.
Yep. So they're all locked in the car.
As a train is coming at them. Thankfully, Billy gets out and the others who are in the back, Devin Safeway and Allie Larder.
They crawl out through the front.
They crawl out and Carter's just sitting there as the train's approaching him. We forgot to mention Devin Safeway had a little vision before this of a broken seatbelt.
Yeah, so Devin gets visions.
He gets visions.
Before deaths happen. So when is it Terry got hit by that bus, he had a vision of a bus in like the window. Like he knew a bus was coming down the street.
Yeah.
So he has a vision of Carter's seatbelt being like frayed.
Yeah. Well, what happens is Carter's sitting there waiting for the train to come. And then he tries to act all cool and is like, nope. It's not my time. And he goes to start the car and leave, and then it won't start.
Yeah,
so
that's
like,
okay. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So he's like stuck there, and then Devin goes to save him. And because of that vision of knowing the seatbelt would break, he's able to rip him out through the window after the door won't open.
Yeah.
And he rips him out of the car right before the train hits it, and he saves him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool. And then while they're laying there on the ground being buddies, Sean William Scott is all freaking out. And he's standing up, and because that train is running over all this metal from the car, a little bit of shrapnel flies out.
Yep.
Fucking decapitates
just
him.
Slices his head off.
Coolest kill.
I think. I was going to say that's probably the best one.
Yeah. It like half decaps him. It's cool.
Yep.
It's great. Devin Safeway is all like, wait a minute. Carter was supposed to die next. Why did Billy die? Turns out. You can skip the order if you save someone.
This is when this whole premise starts to get a little convoluted. And I imagine it just gets worse in the sequels. This idea of like, oh, you can skip around in the order and you can like mash stuff around to make you know, death confused. You know, I have a feeling there's no way that this gets simpler in any of the
it
sequels.
It might. I think some of the sequels are better regarded
really?
Than the original. I think.
Okay.
I don't know. I've only seen a few of them.
So basically what he intuits is, okay, if I can skip everyone in the order, if we can all maneuver our way out of
that'll
dying,
be
that'll be it. It'll be over.
They should have spelled this out a little bit better.
Yes, I agree.
Because my idea is like, okay, once you skip the last person, it's
back around.
It's back around.
First,
that's
yeah.
what I assume. And I guess, spoiler, that's
that
the end.
The
and it's supposed to be like a twist. It's supposed to be like a, oh, surprise. But
oh, and no, I think I you know, when they first introduced this, I was like,
oh,
okay, so yeah, they skip everyone. It's over.
Okay.
think it was going to go back around.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Maybe that's just me. And maybe that's just from having watched this
I
a lot
it
as
might
a kid.
Be, yeah.
Okay, so if this is your first time watching the movie, let us know if you thought skipping over it would finish it off, because yeah. that's the idea that they have in mind. There's a great Devin Safeway gets a great like monologue here by the train tracks when he's talking about gods.
Fuck, I saved him, and because I saved him, it skipped Carter and was the next person in the path of the explosion, Billy. I have to see it, and if I see it, then I intervene, and if I intervene, I cheat the design.
But intervene? What are you, God now?
God's unafraid to die. Guys, don't die. We do, you know?
It's great. It's good.
Oh, go ahead.
Was it going to be at the end of the scene?
Yes.
Because this scene, I think they couldn't figure
okay,
out.
Okay, no. Save that. Because okay. my note okay. is not as great as
go
that
ahead.
One. I just said that I hate how, yeah, some of this is impossible. Like, we see the locks lock themselves, and that's a bummer.
Oh, that's right. That's another
that's
thing.
That's another
where, like,
thing
see.
Where, oh, okay, death is a sentient thing.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Like a mischievous, it's like,
stupid.
Gonna get you and hide the evidence.
Yeah. I don't like that.
Yeah. This scene ends very abruptly.
It's great. We were very confused.
I think it's Carter who's just like,
hey, why don't you just get the fuck out of here?
It felt like someone not knowing how to end an improv scene. Like, no one's running across the front of the stage to end the scene.
Yeah.
So he's like, what the fuck are we still doing? But in character still.
Yeah. So after this, Allie Larder and Devin Safeway run off, and they go to this old cabin. Or it's her cabin. She's not even there when we come
yeah,
in.
Yeah, she ends up talking to the FBI in the worst day for night I've ever seen in a movie.
Oh. Yeah, day for night, if you didn't know, is when you shoot, when you have to shoot during the day, but you need the scene to take place at night, so you just apply, like, pretty much a blue filter.
It's a filter, yeah, you just...
To the camera.
Yep, and if once you know to look for it,
it looks
you'll
bad.
Notice it.
Yeah, because it's like, why is everything so bright?
Mm-hmm.
Moon's not that bright.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's because there's a fucking blue filter over the camera lens.
Yeah.
The problem with using it here is they cut back and forth between Devin Safeway at this cabin at night
yep.
to the FBI questioning Allie Larder in her cool girl garage at day for night. And it's obviously,
it was confusing. Cause I wasn't sure if they were supposed to be taking place at the same time, but they are.
Yeah. I couldn't even tell yeah. the for night part. It just looked like day.
Yeah.
But he's in this fucking cabin. That's hers. It's supposed to be this like isolated cabin.
This whole sequence is weird.
It's weird.
So he figures, he's like, okay, he's there because he's next in the order.
Yeah.
So he's like, here, I'm going to defy death by, I'm going to lock myself in this cabin and basically childproof everything. So he's duct taping cushions to corners and
yeah.
stuff, and all the
corks
windows
on
are
nails and shit.
Yeah. So everything is duct taped and all sharp things have corks put on them. And he's basically wearing oven mitts, and it's just... I said it was like an episode of True Life or like a guest on Maury, just very exaggerated. Like,
because he's like yelling out to death and he's like, you fuck,
you're not going to get me. And it's just, oh, man, out of context. It's
because like a rusted fish hook or something almost gets him.
Yeah.
And he's like, rusted tetanus. That's right. That's how death was trying to kill me.
Yeah,
tetanus. Oh, I stopped him from the tetanus.
That's why I think this scene would be even more disturbing if it was played up. Like, we don't know if death is actually
yeah.
trying to get them or not. That's more interesting, but no.
Yeah, and also I like how there, if death is going after him, it's implied that, like, death misses sometimes.
Yeah.
Because, like, things keep falling, but he's, like, dodging them and shit.
It is weird how death is this, like, omnipotent force, but it messes up a lot.
Well, it's kind of like...
basically any other horror killer.
Yeah.
Because it's able to easily dispatch the minor characters.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the main characters, the top build, it has a harder time.
Well, the main character is in a cabin that he totally childproofed and made into a little safe house.
I guess.
that makes it a little harder.
It's kind
of
weird.
I don't know why death doesn't just make the house collapse on top of this guy, but what, you know, I'm not death, so yeah. I shouldn't talk.
But it's very funny that death is just like your standard slasher killer. It's like, yeah. Oh, I can kill these minor characters real easy and fast, but gonna struggle. He like realizes that because of the whole seat switching thing, that no, he's not next.
That's right.
In line. She is. Ellie Larder is. Because
he gave up his
seat
earlier in the movie to that girl so she could sit with her friend.
Yeah.
So that means Ellie Larder's next.
So he runs to her house from the cabin, which I have been led to believe was an isolated cabin in the woods.
Why would you have a cabin this close to your house?
Because it's her cabin that he's in. She was like, here, you can stay at
I know, but
my family. I know,
why?
I know. That's the thing that I'm saying makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because it's her cabin. She's like, you can stay at my family's cabin, which is in running distance of my house. What are you using
What's
that cabin
point?
For?
Yeah.
That's not a getaway cabin.
Yeah,
That's for something else.
That's for affairs or meth or...
Even affairs is too close for home.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, I don't know what that's for.
It's weird.
Is it a kill cabin? I don't know.
It's
so close to her house.
If anyone listening has a cabin that is like pretty close to their house, and we're talking you can walk there.
Yeah, it's got to be like 5 miles or less, because he fucking runs on foot. Oh, I'm sorry. No, when the FBI agents come to the cabin to get him, first he hops into a canoe and fucking paddles his way across a lake or some shit.
Yeah, you know what? I think maybe I could see having a cabin that close if the cabin is on the water like that one is and your house isn't. If you just have that money to throw around like, I'm going to have a cabin that's...
Yes.
So you can
but
keep
your
all
house
your...
is close enough to the lake.
Yeah, but this way you don't have to drive all your boat shit up there.
Okay. Although their boat shit seems to consist of one rusty old canoe.
Yeah, one canoe.
Okay. Let's wrap this shit up. Cause he gets back. There's a big set piece. There's a big universal stunt, show.
It really, yeah. So it's like, there's a storm and lightning strikes there's like a clothes hanger thing.
It's a whole
thing.
Basically,
it's a whole thing where now Ellie Larder's hanging from the side of her house. There's water all over the ground because the swimming pool collapsed.
Oh, that's right.
And there's an electrical like wire that's just flailing around. And it looks like if you've ever been on the tram tour at Universal Studios, it looks like when you go through one of the sets, like the earthquake one or the flood one, where it's like a preset disaster scene.
Yeah, it
looks
exactly
like that. That's what this feels
like.
It's so good.
I'm surprised we didn't like just look off in the background and see a tram tour stopping and waiting.
Just like, it looks like we're stopping. I don't know what's going on here, folks.
Oh,
like,
is that Clear Rivers?
It's Clear Rivers from the film Final Destination. Oh my God, it's the thunders, you know. Just imagine the whole scene.
She winds up in her car.
Yeah, she seeks shelter in her car.
Which is safe.
It is, because when you're in a car, it's the safest place you can be during a thunderstorm.
Because
of the tires.
With the tires.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, Devin shows up and she's got to get out of the car. He wants to rescue her from the car. He's like, yo, if I save you, it'll skip you.
And then just go to me.
Go to me.
And then it'll be over. He's going to sacrifice himself for her.
So he grabs like the electrical doodad. She gets out of the car and gets to safety. Everything blows up. He's thrown back.
Yeah, he gets zapped and the police show up.
And that's a movie, or so you think.
Yeah, so yeah, fade to black.
Six
that
would have
been a
later.
Crazy ending though. Is he just dies and the cops are like, well, I guess he didn't do it.
Yeah, wait, whoops. Guess it was death.
And then what was it? Six months later,
where a plane lands in France, and on the plane is Carter and Ellie Larder. And Devin Safeway!
And Devin.
He made it, and
his
hair looks different.
And now they're on the France Street at Universal Studios.
Yeah, another set, obviously.
It's such a set. Where they're like, I can't believe we're here, and everything is like weird, and
everyone's
too happy.
One of them has a line where it's like, we finally finished a puzzle. And like, I think that's what the line is verbatim, which makes it sound like they've never finished a puzzle in their lives. And yeah, they're like, we did it.
We did it.
Oh yeah.
Yep. And it's all like weird and it's too nice. It's too good, right?
It's too it's happy.
Too happy. And Allie Larder gets a vision mm-hmm. of a bus.
I think a bus.
Truck. Yeah. Something.
But there's a
there's Rube a thing. Goldberg so basically thing. What happened is, oops, yeah, it, by skipping Allie Larder and it didn't kill Devin, so it's like all...
Oh, yeah, so it's still on him.
It's still on him, yeah.
I don't know why it took 6 months off.
I don't know either.
But, so I guess it's still targeting like death, him.
Like, death has a sense of, like, poetic irony. Yeah. It was like, I'm going to let him get to like, France oh, and then kill him
there.
He
thought that he was safe. I'll get him later when yeah. he's not expecting it.
Yeah, it's, like, good. It's nice imagery to have it. Have him die in France because that's kind of like
yeah
where he was trying to go this whole time
yeah so a big Rube Goldberg happens.
It's like truck hits ladder, guy falls from that
stuff happens.
It looks like another stop on the Universal tram tour, like the big sign with lights falling and then there's sparks.
Yeah, that's the thing, is the big sign falls and it almost hits Devin Safeway, but he gets tackled out of the way by Carter.
Yeah.
And then Carter stands up and is like, Devin's like, oh, I was next, but you saved me. Now it skipped me. And Carter's like, well, then who's next? And you see the sign coming from behind. It's going to thwack him.
Yep.
It's going to hit
him. It flies into the camera.
Yep.
The end.
The end.
If it was 3D, that sign would have flown into the audience.
There's a 3D Final Destination.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I'm sure that's
full of fun stuff.
Really fun.
That's Final Destination.
Yeah, it is.
How do you feel about it?
It's fine. It's a fun 90s movie.
I want to watch the sequels now.
I know. I kind of do too.
Yeah.
It's kind of... I want to watch the sequels for the same reason I was really excited to watch the Saw sequels, because I just like want to see like where do they run with this.
Yeah, I want to see this premise blown
keeping
out.
Keeping it the same premise, yeah.
I know Tony Todd returns for at least one of them, maybe all Good. Of them. Maybe all of them. Clear Rivers is in the second one. Spoiler.
I'm willing to bet Tony Todd is maybe positioned as like he has something to do with it.
I don't know.
Like he's the personification of death or something.
That'd be cool. That Mac Daddy.
I mean, that would make more sense than, like, he's just the weird mortician that hangs around.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, intimidates the kids.
Yeah, Final Destination, it's a fun movie. It's a movie I watched a lot as a kid.
Yeah.
I know I watched the second one a fair amount, but I think that was probably it for me. I've maybe seen some of the others, but I can't say for certain. I just remember, there's a highway pileup thing in the second movie. I don't remember which one the roller coaster is.
How many recurring actors then?
Not many.
Okay.
I believe these are mostly self-contained stories, but I know the second one has some stuff from the first one, but after that I cannot say.
Okay.
This is a fun movie, but please don't leave comments asking me to do a kill count on it. I have a schedule. This is not in the schedule.
Yeah.
You'll get it eventually.
This is, you know, our little taste of it for now.
Yeah.
James will do it eventually.
We just talked about it for over an hour.
Yep.
So that should be good enough for you, okay?
Yep.
Chelsea always wants me to be nicer to you people.
I do. You're mean.
You don't have to deal with all those comments, Chelsea. But no, you guys are great. Especially the people who listen to these, I feel like, are pretty great.
Yeah.
Because their attention spans enable them to listen to an hour-long thing. What? I'm just saying the people who listen to this.
I know, but you're being mean to people who don't listen to them.
They don't know. They're
not
listening
to it.
But no, this is fun. It was fun to watch. It was fun to do this.
Yep.
This is coming out after we've gotten back from Texas Frightmare. But
yeah, I got to get this edited and stuff before we leave.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of a weird time thing, because we were talking earlier about how we're about to get on a plane ride, but by the time you're listening to this, we'll have already flown.
Been on that plane.
So, I mean, if you're listening to it, it means the plane didn't blow up, so that's good.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
And if it does, this is the clip that's on the news.
Yeah, I hope someone finds it and posts it. You have my permission.
Yeah.
All the major
Buzzfeed
media outlets.
Or TMZ or whoever.
Well,
one
not
of them,
TMZ.
One of them will find it first.
Yeah, TMZ, you do not have our permission. Anyone else can. Everyone but TMZ.
Sure.
Yeah, is that it? Are we good?
I think that's it.
Cool.
I think we're good.
This is fun.
Next, I don't know what we're doing next. Probably movies that define eras.
Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
I think that'll be a good one.
Make sure you follow Dead Meat on social media.
on Twitter and Instagram at Dead Meat James, especially Twitter. Follow that Twitter. I post frequently. I tweet multiple times a day from that account with updates to the channel and what's going on with the channel and the production and stuff like that. So a lot of valuable information on that Twitter feed. Chelsea.
You can find me at Carebeck, that's C-A-R-E-B-E-C-C on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want merch, we have deadmeatstore.com.
Yep. If you want to email us about any podcast-specific things, that's deadmeatpod@gmail.com. So hit that up. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's it. Is that all the stuff?
Think so.
That's all the stuff. All right, cool, everybody. Thank you so much. We'll hear you next time, or you'll hear us next time.
Yeah, it's time to end this now.
All right, I'm James.
I'm Chelsea.
And this has been Dead Meat Podcast.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home.